Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And there's so much going on. Lots of interesting stuff in the world of the paranormal these days. Lots of very interesting investigations and investigators. So I'm really excited about our guests tonight. I hope you were all able to listen to the show last week. Our guest was Dr. Rita Louise. She's just released a book which talks all about dark spirits. It's called Dark Angels, actually, and she covers the various so-called malevolent types of ghosts, demons, and that sort of thing and what have you. And actually, she's a very delightful woman and had a lot of information to share that was really very interesting. And if you didn't get a chance to catch the show, remember all the shows are archived on the BBS website, so if you get a chance, check it out. And tonight, in the spirit of Halloween, we're also going to be talking about ghosts again. And like most of the guests I bring on, these are some people who are on the cutting edge of ghost research, have been doing this for years, and have had actual, you know, face-to-face experiences with ghostly phenomena and are researching it as well. So we're very, very lucky to have them on the show tonight. We have two guests, that's right, two. So let me introduce them for you. Our first guest is Nick Corey, and he's the founder and lead investigator of Jasper Haunts. And this is a ghostly investigative group. He's been doing this for several years, as I said, specializing a lot in EVP. And he's got a lot of very interesting stories to tell. And also with us tonight is our other guest, Allie Turner, who's also a member of Jasper Haunts and has had ghostly experiences and is doing ghostly investigations right along with Nick. So I want you all to give a nice, warm welcome to our guests tonight, Nick Corey and Allie Turner. Nick, Allie, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
It's pretty interesting stuff you guys are doing. I've checked out your website, of course, and the EVP. Wow, you know, it's really, really interesting. So how did you guys get involved in something that's kind of considered off the beaten path for a lot of people?
Well, I got into it through taking care of a dying relative, actually, into the EVP part, that is. My grandfather, as he was dying, he was, you know, telling me about all the things he was seeing and stuff. And he saw a few spirits in the house, so I started trying to connect with them. And that's how I got my first EVP, connecting with them in the house here.
Oh, really? So you just...
Yeah.
You decided to try and record their voice?
Yeah. I was really astonished when I heard it. I actually went into the room where he passed away, and I started trying to get voices in there after he died. And the first one I got said, "Please help me." So it was pretty, it shook me up a bit, you know, to actually hear it. Because you hear so many people talk about EVP.
Right,
but when you
right.
actually get one, it kind of becomes addictive. You want to get another and another and try to connect with the spirits.
Well, it certainly seems to be the cutting edge of ghost research today, of the EVP phenomena. So it's really interesting that that's what you're doing a lot of research into this. So what about you, Allie? How did you get involved in this?
I have always been interested in it and knew there was something more out there than what
right.
is the normal, I guess. And so that's what actually got me intrigued and started hunting for ghosts.
Huh. Well, you were never skeptical then, growing up? You always... I was skeptical. I got a real shock when I found out all this stuff was real. So,
to an extent, I was. I just knew I wanted to go out there and to actually do an investigation to prove to myself that the ghost spirits are real and that we can communicate with them. And to my surprise, I was actually right. You can communicate with them.
Yeah, well, ghosts, after all, are mostly, I mean, they're just people. I mean, people have a lot of fear of ghosts, and that's the first thing I always tell them. These are basically just people, right, that we're dealing with.
Exactly. Yeah. We talk to them just like we're sitting here talking right now. We communicate like that.
Well, is it your experience then that a lot of these spirits don't know that they're dead or are not aware that they've passed on?
Some. We've had a few that's not aware. And we've had a few that ask us, you know, if we're dead.
Oh, wow, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So, it's definitely a very interesting subject and so much to explore.
Right. So how did you guys come together and you formed this group? I guess you must have been getting a lot of calls from people who were having experiences.
I started...
Go ahead,
Allie.
I found Nick. I found the group through the internet. And so I just joined the group from there. But go ahead and talk about how it's founded, Nick.
Oh, well, I started, you know, getting into it, like I said, after my grandfather's passing, decided to form a group. And so I decided that I was going to go for this, you know, and try to check out all these different ghosts and EVP, all this stuff. And I've been real into UFOs, too, since I was a kid, because my dad had seen them, and I had seen two UFOs when I was a little kid, so... We kind of got all, you know, these different aspects of the paranormal I'm really interested in. So I decided that my group would go after not only the ghost and that type of paranormal, but we were doing skyfish, rods, and UFO, you know, whatever somebody needs help with, we'll research it. And then if we're just interested, if somebody says in the group, hey, we, you know, we're interested in UFO, then we would start getting into it, because I don't want to keep it on one subject. I want it to be broad, you know.
I think that's a great idea. Because, you know, that's something I try to do in my own research. And I see, you know, I've talked to a lot of investigators, and they tend to focus a lot on just one particular subject. But in my opinion, there's connections between a lot of these different things that help us to understand, you know, one aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the groups we talk to, they don't know what rods are. They're not even interested in it. But actually, the rods came to me and started talking to us, so to speak, and responding to our voices on investigations. You know, when we were out in a cemetery, we captured one back in March when it was really cold out. And I had heard about them and stuff, and my dad knew a lot more about them than I did, so I started researching, trying to find out more, and then I started getting them everywhere I went. You know, I was filming the blue heron one night down by the water, and I started getting rods everywhere. So I started just talking to them like I do the spirit people, you know, through EVP, and I got the rods to respond to my voice on camcorder. You know, they'd actually come back around me and swing, you know, flying around me and stuff. So that's when I told the group, we're going to start, you know, getting into these rods too. And we're still getting them. You know, now that it's cold here in Missouri, we're still getting rods to this day.
Wow. So that's where your investigations are based, is in Missouri?
Yes.
It's almost Joplin, like Nick Missouri. Is channeling these rods. I mean, it's a phenomenon.
Well, for people who don't know, you know, and what is your opinion of what these rods are? And I know that's kind of, we're entering the realm of speculation to a certain extent here, but explain to people
We set up an experiment to kind of try to prove what they were. We put up a mosquito net tent, set off bug bombs, put the cams inside the tent with plastic bags over them, and we, you know, after we let off all these bug bombs and stuff, we hit, you know, started recording, and we saw a rod come through the tent, and you could see a transparent, you know, white energy comes through the tent, right through that mosquito net. And see, my goal was to prove these are not bugs, you know. And what kind of bug is going to show a 3-foot rod with wings, you know, getting through a mosquito net? And you could see clearly how it came through the tent.
Wow.
So yeah, it was amazing. I thought, well, the first thing, you know, we talked to Bill Puckett up in Washington. He's a UFO expert. And we talked to him, and he said, you know, you got to rule out the bugs first off. And so we took his advice, and so we just call it a skyfish tent. And we set it up, and we try to capture them in the tent. And the last time we did it, we actually got an EVP as the skyfish was moving past, you know, in front of the camera. And it said, can you let us be free to roam? And I thought that was very strange, get an EVP from a skyfish. But, they're an interdimensional type being. You know, they're intelligent and not sure where they come from, but they're all around us.
Right. You know, well, it was Jose Escamilla, right, who first got them, I guess, noticed. And I've talked with him several times about it, and apparently these things are all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't got to talk to him about them. I'd love to. But we sent a picture to him of one that we got, an actual still photo of it off the video, and it came right up to the camera, and it basically pressed its body almost against the lens. So it's a very good picture of one.
Wow.
And if somebody wants to see that, if they go to our website and hit more videos, they can actually see that picture if they want to.
Wow, so these things are like some undiscovered species. That would appear.
That's what,
I think they're
know,
just
some
spirits.
People think
they're, I think they're just way the spirits will show themselves.
Oh, interesting.
In some way.
Well, it would make sense if they're communicating using, you know, EVP, because this is one of my theories. Is it, you know, I mean, ghosts are known to be able to affect all kinds of electromagnetic equipment, right? And so an EVP offers
right.
them a real opportunity to communicate with us. And so I think that they're taking advantage of it. And if ghosts can do it, why not other, as you say, interdimensional creatures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real interesting, though, when you see them, you know, to just see it. They're beautiful creatures, whatever they are. And a lot of people think they do have something to do with UFOs. This one lady thinks that it's like some kind of probe that they send down, you know, to inspect the earth and what we're doing and kind of spy on us. You know, everybody has their own opinion of what rods are. But
yeah. I heard a very similar theory from a lady I interviewed, actually, who said she was having rods around her house, and she said that the ETs told her that they had been let loose from one of their craft and had a
Oh, really?
Bread.
That is interesting.
So, I mean, the theory is as good as any other, right? I mean, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a whole big, long history of these things, is there? I mean, they're what I'm trying to say is a recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, the night we started filming them was back in May. I think it was May 19th. Allie said she had read there was a UFO crash in another country the same night. So that would make sense, you know, if they are something that's been let loose, you know, maybe from that crash or something, they just kind of went everywhere. But they definitely disappear, you know, they're fast. The camera can see them. I've only seen one, you know, with my own eyes. And I saw it in my house. It was a small one. But I've not seen these great big ones. I mean, we got a 6-foot one the other night. It's huge.
You're kidding. My God, these things can get big. I had no idea.
I guess. We got it at the cemetery again, in another cemetery.
Well, they must be interdimensional then if they're moving through solid objects.
Mm-hmm. We've actually got a video evidence of it actually going through our bodies, which is very strange.
Yeah, there's a 9-year-old little girl with us. She just absolutely loves go sky fishing, she calls it. And we took her one night, and she said she felt it go in her, and she went, you know, kind of moved backwards. You see it enter her stomach, come out her back, and go back through. And it was a little rod. It wasn't a real big one. But it still, it went through a human body, and, you know, right there told us something. You know, they travel like spirits. They're transparent energy. and just go in and out or whatever they want.
Well, it's interesting, and you're actually capturing photographs of these things, so these things are...
Yeah, I haven't gotten any in the day yet, but I've gotten plenty at night, and I thought, well, could they be drawn to night vision? You know, we can't see it with our eyes, but bugs, and they say insects stuff can see those infrared lights.
Interesting. Have you found any connection with, like, orbs? Have you heard of those orbs that appear in photographs? Have you had any of that sort of thing happen to you?
Yeah, we've gotten quite a few of those. We've got one moving, and we got it at a haunted location, and it was probably the size of a basketball, and it had a flat top on it. It was real strange looking. We actually got that on video, too. And then Allie, she's gotten a lot of pictures of clusters. It looks like a lot of different ones together.
Huh.
It's actually a beautiful color, too. It's a beautiful luminous pink color.
Well, tell us about that. I mean, what was that like?
That was at the same cemetery we caught the first rod at. I think on the same investigation, too. I was walking back to my car to get something. I think my camera. And I kept on hearing footsteps behind me. So I'm like, okay. So I grabbed my other digital camera when I was in my car, walking back to Nick, and heard footsteps in the leaves beside me. Automatically started taking photographs, and you can see where the orb clusters are starting to manifest, and it manifests into what looks like a human shape.
Oh, wow.
And then it dissipates. It disappears on the third photograph. Most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
So is it only visible in the photographs, or could you see it while it was actually happening?
I couldn't see it visually with my own eyes, but I did capture it in it's a set of three photographs. You know, the one, two, three, and the third one, it was totally gone. Just like that. I mean, just back after back.
Well, that fits the pattern of other cases.
We've done, like, orb demonstrations, you know, to show water orbs and dust orbs and to see how fast they dissipate compared to spirit orbs. And I know a lot of parapsychologists, they don't even accept them anymore, you know, because they say there's so many of them. But some of them, they look like they're alive, you know. Like there's something inside of them, like they're jelly orbs or something.
My mother had got an orb. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But mother had got an orb at her house, photographing my little sister and my son, and it actually has a face in it of an Indian woman.
Oh wow!
And yeah, you can see it. It's amazing. Just look like looking at a photograph.
Right. What I was going to say is I think most of these orbs are, I mean, clearly spirits of people, but someone once told me, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that when you see an orb, you should check to see if it has hard, defined edges or if it's kind of soft and transparent, you know what I mean? Because the ones that have fuzzy edges are spirits, where the ones with hard edges are UFO probes. Because there's a lot of accounts of that. Actually, you know, these little balls of light.
Yeah. Well, I definitely know the aliens are real. My friend was here staying night one night, and she saw one in the house, an alien being. And she said it was about 9 foot tall. Its neck, you know, it was real skinny with a big head, and it was looking around. And beside it was a spirit person. They were together. And she described my grandfather, you know. She described him to a T, and I thought, you know, I talked to this lady, and she said my spirit guide was an alien, you know, being, and it was a feminine, and her name is Hitor. And anytime I need anything, I call on her, and she's kind of like a spirit guide, and said, when I die, that this alien being will come for me to take me. Well, and, you know, I really think there's something, they have something to do with the big plan when we leave here. I really believe that. Something to do with the God energy. There's some kind of superior, you know, being. I really believe they're connected to to a lot of this afterlife stuff. You know, they have some type of role in that.
Well, I've certainly heard of these things before, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised to find out a lot of these things are actually true, because you know, I've gotten a lot of accounts of ETs that look just like human beings. They're indistinguishable from a human being, and which, you know, says a lot about human origins and whether or not we evolved on this planet, or are we, you know, ancestors of extraterrestrials? Because you know, a lot of people have told me, that the reason that they were contacted by ETs was because that they are, you know, have ET stuff in their past lives and things like this.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I've had two aliens come to me, and when I was on a, you know, out of my body, a flight. And, I mean, this one, when she started telling me some stuff, she was getting ready to tell me about them, they beamed her right up into the ship. They just took her out. And I was on flight. I mean, I could see China, you know, the whole world when I was out of my body. I was flying, and these aliens were there with me.
Well, interesting. I've done a bunch of out-of-body stuff, so I know exactly what you're talking about. So.
And this alien man, he was in a, you know, form of a male. He said, there's a lot of us here on Earth, and we look just like you. You know? He wanted to make sure that I knew that. And then these rods came after this happened, so I don't know if maybe they're trying to, you know, talk to me through the rods. I don't know. I guess I'll find out when, because I'm going to do another rod experiment, you know, and try to communicate through EVP with them, see if they can talk to me some more.
Because
so far I've only gotten one. What was that?
You know, from what you're talking about, clearly there's a connection between all this stuff. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I believe so. And, going back to my grandfather, when he was dying, he told me the people that were coming to get him, he said they look like us, but they're different. And I was trying to get him to tell me more details, and I wrote about it in one of my books. I've got two books, and one's getting ready to come out, you know, and it's about this life and death experiences and EVP and all this stuff. And, I mean, I'm just fascinated with what message they really have for me, because the UFO people that are these experts in Washington, they seem to think certain people do channel the energy of rods, which I don't know. Maybe they're just attracted to us just like some spirits are. I don't know.
Right.
But if we can get them to speak, then we can find out more about them maybe. You know, where they come from, what they're doing here.
Well, it's a subject that's begging for research, so, you know, definitely needs people like you guys doing it.
Well, I know with these paranormal groups, like you said, there's a lot of them focused on certain things, like apparition ghosts, EVP, you know. But I'm spread out.
You know, that's the best way to get a whole picture of what's going on, and you can't throw away evidence to fit the theory, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Exactly. The only way we're going to actually prove if they're connected is for researchers like us to put the connection together.
Right. So tell us about some of these haunting expeditions you've been on to haunted locations.
You want to tell them about the boy ghost one that was here lately, Ellie?
The boy apparition. The family had actually contacted us, and they had a priest in there. They're hearing, and children are hearing, children playing, footsteps coming down the stairs. They were scared of their wits. So they finally packed up and went to a motel. They could not get rid of these spirits. Yeah, they were scared. So we went in there to do an investigation to see if we can help them. And we've got an apparition of a little boy. There's a few EVPs on there. I'm not so certain what they say. I forgot what they had said, but it's clear that the boy is trying to communicate with us and to get our help. So that was
he was asking for help, remember?
Yes, that's what it was. He was asking for help, and
That's kind of sad.
It is. It is. But, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I am very interested in this, is to help the spirits. Spirits like this little boy
right.
on the other side. So, but that one is that one on our site, Nick?
Well, when you go to our site to the more videos, you know, like we got one and two video pages, I think it's like the third one, more videos, it goes to our YouTube where we post all of our Skyfish and different things.
Yes.
But definitely, it's an interesting apparition because his energy, his face as he's peeking around the corner, his face just comes off and you see he projects his energy into another room.
Wow. So
it's pretty amazing
see.
To watch it.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I mean, this is evidence, I think, that proves ghosts are real. I'm surprised that people are still skeptical when, you know, this quality of evidence is being gotten from so many different... I mean, if you see the shows on TV these days, they're really getting some amazing
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. When you get the real stuff, it's like they put, you know, just like Mari, they had a ghost thing on this last week, the Mari show. Which one's real and which one's fake? People are faking so much these days. I think that's why so many people are still skeptical.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're faking
problem.
Ghost videos.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, there's that new movie out, the Paranormal, I forget what's it called.
Activity.
That's right.
Paranormal Activity.
Which is doing really, really well. It's a sleeper hit that cost, what, $10,000 to make and is now making millions. So people
yeah,
are interested in this stuff.
We've heard mixed stuff about that. We haven't seen it yet, but one of the team members did, and she said it was kind of, you know, bland for a paranormal show. She thought it would be better, but everybody, you know, everybody will see it in different light, just like anything. We all have our own opinion, so we find that with EVPs, too. You know, when the spirit voice comes through, there could be 10 of us in a room, and every one of us will hear a different message. And it doesn't mean any of us are wrong. It's just I believe you're supposed to get whatever message comes through, whatever you hear is for you. So it's kind of personal.
Right. Well, sometimes they're clearer than others, right?
Yeah.
On different vibrations, too. The people can be on different vibrations and connecting with different spirits. So that means they hear different things.
Oh, well, that makes total... You know how, you know, there's a lot of accounts of ghosts that are transparent? And that people see ghosts that are absolutely physical as well. And this is, someone told me, or I read this, I'm not exactly sure where, that it depends on your level of vibration as to how you perceive the ghost. Because they perceive us the same way as you know,
exactly.
apparitions.
Like them asking us if we're dead too.
Well, Ellie, answer this if you might. This is probably asking you to speculate, but what do you think about, I mean, there's a veil between the worlds. And I've heard a lot of people say that it's getting thinner and thinner, and that's why we're getting to be able to do this kind of communication with the spirits. What do you think about that theory? You know, like the veil between the worlds.
About the what?
The veil between the worlds becoming thinner and thinner, so that ghosts are able to communicate with us more easily as time goes on. I don't know, it's just a theory I heard.
Yes, I can see that to an extent. I think that more people are becoming aware. And your health and what you put in your body has a lot to do with how high your vibration is, your spirituality.
Right.
So that plays a big role into whether you can communicate with spirits or not.
Oh, interesting.
Plus, the media... Everything about the media and then television has everybody's interest peaking. So, therefore, there's more people willing to investigate and become part of the research because they want to know if it's true or not. Kind of like me. But I was not intrigued. I became intrigued way before Ghost Hunters was even on TV, so it wasn't that. But I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, look at Paranormal Activity, the movie.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
I mean, there's more people.
And there's another new alien movie out, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, though it looks like it's going to be a horror movie, unfortunately. which doesn't really accurately portray this stuff. That's a problem of a lot of these movies, I think.
Well, we got into another subject with other paranormal people is seances. You know, another way of communicating. And when we mention that word, all of them run. You know, they're so afraid, and, you know, the Ouija board and all this. And I mean,
it's a piece of wood.
It's whatever you're putting into it, I believe. Whatever energy you're putting into something is what you're going to get back.
Well, you know what I like about it, Nick, is that it's controlled access and kind of easy access, for that matter, to the paranormal. You can bring the ghosts right into the lab and research this subject face-to-face. So
exactly.
I did it with a medium and did table tipping, and it was awesome, really. So
yeah,
we know
somebody that table tips. It's pretty neat to watch that.
Right.
I myself have not experienced that, but...
Well, I went to a physical medium, and she was able to do this, and I proved to my satisfaction, at least, that it was no hoax.
So, yeah.
Well, Nick, before it gets too late in the show, I do want to ask you, because, I mean, you mentioned it, and I asked this of all my guests anyway, if they've ever seen a UFO, and you said you had a sighting as a child. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, we were, I was probably about 7, we were in a big old Bronco. This was back in the 70s, you know, right? 77. And we were going by an old cemetery. Isn't that weird, of all my encounters? But we were driving by and we see this light. I mean, it's coming out of the sky, and it is so bright. It looks like it's, you know, going to hit in the cemetery. And I was drawn to it. I wanted to go back, but my mom and her friend, they drove as fast as they could to get to a phone, you know, to call the police. They're like, did a plane crash or, you know, something like that? And they said there was none, you know, that night, nothing out that way. And I knew what it was when I saw it. I was young enough, but my dad had schooled me in extraterrestrial since I was real little, you know. But it was just a bright fireball coming out of the sky. And as it got closer, I mean, it's almost like you could hear it sizzling.
Wow.
And I experienced it again when I was older. It was probably 94, probably 20 years later. Another fireball, you know, and I had a moonroof at the time of my car, and it came right over, and I could hear that thing sizzling, and it just went down into the woods.
Really?
And so I called the police and asked me what kind of drugs and alcohol I was on. You know, they thought I was crazy. I said, no, I saw a fireball going down, you know, I could hear it sizzling. That's how close it was to hitting the ground. And they, you know, they of course said, no, there was nothing crashed, we can assure you. And I was like, so I went to driving around trying to find it. But basically it's the same experience both times with it coming down, you know, to the ground.
Oh, interesting.
And we've seen odd things in the sky and stuff, you know, that we can't explain. Even today we saw something and try to get it on the camcorder. And I believe it was a UFO. Just right up in the sky.
Huh.
You know, was it yesterday, Nick? I was laying on the ground watching the sky. Beautiful, clear sky. And I had seen something go across in front of me.
Yeah, yesterday. So we've seen
two.
Well, I have a couple of theories about that. One theory is that when you start investigating this stuff, you become a lot more aware of it, and you see stuff that's always been around us, but a lot of people aren't noticing, right?
Yeah.
But my other theory is that once you start investigating this stuff, it starts investigating you.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say.
So you.
I think it piques their interest in us.
Exactly. And that's what happened to me. I never saw a UFO until I started investigating this, and I had... You know, twice now I've had little balls of light come down in front of my car and kind of whirl around it like a probe or something. I don't know. It's weird. But
see,
cool.
I think the same theory about paranormal investigations, too, as far as ghost hunting. I don't really like that term, but that's what I'm speaking of. But I'm thinking that you get into the paranormal investigations and it piques their interest in you.
The spirit's interest in you. Right. Finally, they have someone who is paying attention to them and is aware that they're there when most people don't.
Exactly. And they know we're paying attention to them, and That means we attract them in some sense, I guess.
Right. Well, let me ask you guys
Go ahead.
I
was talking about the vibrational changes, speaking from when I first started EVP to now. I don't need a recorder to hear them anymore. So it's like my vibration has gone up high enough to reach theirs to where I don't need the recorder. So I still use it, you know, to prove to other people, but I don't need it for myself. So
how interesting. Well, that's like just mystic ability.
To heighten that vibration, you know. Music can heighten the vibration. They seem to really like music, and they sing to me, too. It's crazy, but the spirits will sing. If I'm having a bad day or something, they'll sing to me. They have beautiful voices over there.
No, I actually totally
get
what you're
saying. I call it over there, right here.
You know, like I mentioned earlier, I've done some out-of-body stuff. I read Robert Munro's book, Out-of-Body Journeys, which gives directions on how to do it. And so I found
Now getting into that. I'm just now recently getting into the out-of-body experience, learning how to fly and explore
body.
And
I love
it. I know I can't wait to actually be able to experience it myself.
I got really good at it at one point, as apparently you are, Nick, and I'm sure you will be soon. Because all it takes is a little effort. But I've gone out of my body and had spirits sing to me as well with these amazing voices. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Have you felt them touch you and help you out of your body when you first started going out? Did they actually touch you? Did you feel them?
A couple of times. Mostly, I felt like I've been alone doing it, to be perfectly honest. And I've envied people who have, you know, close contact with their spirit guides, because most of the time, it's, you know, I've had to struggle by myself, it seems, to me at least. But a couple of times, yeah, I've been lifted right out. I felt them, or they'll grab my hand and they'll pull me right out of my body. So,
I felt little hands, like there were six beings with me helping me out the first time, you know, and they were kind of just underneath. And I felt, when I started separating from the flesh, it felt so intense. It was just, you know, orgasmic. You can't even explain it when you get out how it feels.
Right. No, it's
but now I had an experience just the other night where I woke up and couldn't breathe and like in a panic of some sort. And I was literally panicked. And I brought it to Nick's attention. He said that it probably could have been me having trouble getting back into my body after having an out-of-body experience.
So not being aware of it. Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's scary at first, definitely.
Yeah, sometimes they say it's like hitting a rock, you know, trying to get back in, because you get out and you're so happy being out, especially if you have pain or something in your body, you don't want to get back in there. You get back in there and... oh, boy, they show you. You know, the other thing is they took me up into a tunnel. There was a male and a female voice, and they took me up into this tunnel, and I was like spinning around, and they were speaking to me in every language of the world, and I understood everything when I was in spirit form, you know, out of the body. And one day I was in an elevator in a hospital, and these people were talking behind me, and the girl looked at me and said, "What'd they say?" And I said, "They're speaking English. I can hear what they're saying." And as soon as she said that, I couldn't understand them anymore. They were speaking German.
Huh.
So, like, when you're not aware, you know, you're just on a different vibration. And when you tune in to bring yourself back down, then you can't understand it anymore.
Right. Well, we just got one minute left for the show, so I want to give you guys a chance to, you know, make any last comments you need to make. And, you know, give out your website, of course, so people can... contact with
I'll
you and tell a little bit about your books and stuff.
Okay,
the website is www.jasperhans.com. And on there is a link to our YouTube, which you can find more video evidence from Jasper Hans. So go by there and visit that, and you can find some interesting evidence.
Awesome. And we've got one book on the site. It's Electronic Voice Phenomena, Guide on How to Record, and it's on the site there. And then my newest book is getting ready to come out. It's called The Mini Messages, and it's all about spirit communication and all the documented messages I've gotten so far from EVP. So we try to give a voice back to the spirits through these books.
That's a really good way of putting it. How interesting. Wow. Well, guys, it's been
very interesting.
Yeah, it's
real personal.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It, too.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all the time we have tonight, guys. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our guests have been Nick Corey and Allie Turner. They're both investigators with the group Jasper Haunts. You can check out on the web at jasperhaunts.com. That's JASPERHAUNTS. Jasper Haunts. Check it out. I think you'll find it very interesting, and you can get access to Nick's books there, and very interesting stuff. Well, again, thanks for listening, and I hope you can all join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest on UFOs and the Paranormal on the BBS Network. Till then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.